Good morning. Hope you all are well this morning. It's a beautiful day, and I am glad to be in worship with you. This morning is also a special morning. This is tomorrow, November 1st, is All Saints Day. And so the Sunday before that, we like to be totally not Baptist for a day and celebrate this beautiful day of All Saints Day as well. What that means is it's a day since the 8th century that Christians around the world have stopped to be mindful of those who have gone before us in the faith. Hebrews calls it our great cloud of witnesses, those people in our lives who have lived in the ups and the downs and the mixed bag that everyone is, in some way lived a life that has shown us how to be faithful, how to live a life in love with Christ, how to follow him. And so this morning we remember them. We give God thanks for them. And we are people of great hope, knowing that life on this earth is just the beginning. And we have this great promise that to be absent from this body is to be present with our Lord. And so we light candles to remember that as we gather and as we worship in this place, those who have gone before us are gathered around the throne of Christ right now, worshiping as well. As we prepare our hearts to worship, hear these words from 1 Thessalonians. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with the cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, this morning we gather in this place to lift up your name, to worship and honor you, to encounter your presence that our hearts so desperately need, O God. And we're in this place on this special Sunday to slow down a little and to remember those who have blessed our lives, and to give you thanks for them. Thank you for the lives they lived on this earth, and thank you for the beautiful promise that we will be with you forever. And so as we worship in this place, could you open our ears and our hearts to have little glimpses of what's also true, that around your throne there are saints and there are angels surrounding you, O Jesus, lifting up songs as well. Today we join that chorus, and as our hearts miss those that we love, would you fill us with your peace, and would you fill us with great hope for the living of these days? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Would you pray with me? Now, Father God, we turn to your word. We ask that the same Spirit who inspired the writing of it might inspire our hearts to receive it this day. Turn to your word because we need to hear from you, O God. in this world that throws a million messages in our direction a day. We need to hear again what's true about who you are and who we are. And so would you be so kind, so good to us, to let your word be so clear in us, oh God. Would your spirit move freely in this place, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy All Hallows Eve. I don't know if you can say happy about that. But since the 8th century, a long time ago, Christians have observed, just like I told the kiddos, November 1st as All Saints' Day. This is the day we come together to remember those who have gone before us, who have shown us in some way the way to Christ. To think that since before we were even born, and God's great love for us, He saw to it to put people on this earth who would guide us to Him. That's who He is. Hebrews calls these people, these myriads of people, the great cloud of witnesses. And having gone to heaven before us, it says that they cheer us on in our own run, our own race with Jesus. These lights here in this room this morning, they're just little things, but they reflect what is true, that these folks right now looking down on us, cheering us on, urging us to keep walking with our Jesus right here until we join Him with them there. This morning, would you take time to see their light? Even more, try to hear their cheer, those voices that you can't forget. Can you hear them cheering for you, rooting for you as you keep on this Jesus way? I want to add this morning to this cloud metaphor, the metaphor of stars. Because since the beginning of time, people have used the stars to guide them. Slaves found freedom following the North Star. Sailors knew where in the world they were on those dark, troubled waters by looking up to the stars. Many a couple have fallen in love under the stars. Fievel the mouse, remember him? It's from my childhood. When he felt so very alone, he looked up and he imagined that someone else might be wishing on the same bright star. Stars guide us. Stars orient us. They captivate us. They shine down on us. So this morning we consider those who have gone before us are just stars in our lives. Now, the vast majority of them are really just twinkling stars. They don't necessarily shape our lives in these great big ways, but they're little light flickers to show us glimpses of the way. When you look up at the sky on a clear night, there's really only a few stars that really, really stand out. The vast majority of them just get lost in this crowd of millions and billions, trillions, I don't know, of stars. But it turns out that all these little stars, all their little lights are needed together to illuminate that night sky. So this morning, we take some time to thank God for those little twinkling stars in our lives. Those are the ones who have gone before us, who have just left a little glimmer that somehow made our life shine brighter. Just those people we pass every day. And if we have eyes to see, realize what a treasure they are. Could be that school bus driver who greeted you with a smile every morning when you were in the third grade. That's a twinkling star. Could be the first person who hired you. It's a twinkling star. It could be a preacher that maybe you heard just once, but for some reason that message at that time spoke to your heart. A twinkling star. a musician out there in the world who gave you a song that just keeps leading your heart close to God, a poet who helps you see beauty that you didn't see. These are all twinkling stars. It turns out if we are people who walk through life with hearts and eyes wide open, we will begin to see them everywhere. Twinkling stars. Because if we're all children of God, meaning that we all bear the image of God, which we do, then we should all have a little twinkle to us. Some people, you may have to look a little bit harder, squint a little bit more, but it's there. There's a twinkle. Do you know when folks in India, when they greet each other, they put their hands together and do a little reverent bow. You know what they say? Namaste. Namaste, what it means, the translation means the light in me sees the light in you. I love that. They say it to the grocery store worker and the taxi driver and their grandma. The light in me sees the light in you. You twinkle, I twinkle. If we take time to really see who's before us, not as a means to an end or someone to do a transaction for us, but as a child of God. If we see the ones who have gone before us as these children of God, we will realize that there are twinkling, twinkling little stars everywhere. Everyone is giving off glimpses of God's light. They're all around us, billions of them. Other stars in our lives are more like south stars. That means they guide us, but they guide us in the way we shouldn't go. And you know what? That's a gift too. In 2 Kings, we meet King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah, he knew a thing or two about south stars. Because his dad, this guy named Ahaz, he appears in 2 Kings 16. Here's what it says about Ahaz. He was 20 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David, his father, actually his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, he didn't do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel, even sacrificed his son in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. That's Ahaz in a nutshell. Not a good dude. Hezekiah succeeds his dad, as makes sense. 2 Kings 18 says this about Hezekiah. Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, began to reign. He was 25 years old. He reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was none like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and didn't stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. And he was successful in whatever he undertook. You see, when it's Hezekiah's turn to be king, he has a real choice to make. He can follow in dad's footsteps, or he can go another way. He can see the life that his dad lived before him, and he can see what destruction his dad brought on his people, on his very own children. He could consider how his dad's life broke the heart of God, and he could choose to do the same, or he could choose a different, better way. You see, for Hezekiah, his dad is a south star. An example, a gift, showing him the way not to go. And if that's true, this means that even the hard ones in our lives who have gone before us, we're like, I'm not lighting a candle for them. Nope. Even they might can be as a gift to us. And then we're free, if that's true. Free from resentment, free from hatred. If they're a gift too, we're free. Because their broken lives, if nothing else, they at least have somehow shown us that there must be a better way. And they nudge us from around the throne of Jesus, perhaps, to choose that better way. Now, it's hard to see our south stars as gifts sometimes, right? I mean, some of us were born right in the thick of their chaos and destruction. Your south stars walked before you in a way that you have intentionally chosen not to go. And that's for a reason. That's because from them you saw how addiction ravages families. And from them you saw how violence just breaks and breaks some more. You saw how stinginess isolates and how secrets don't keep and how lies don't save and how resentment slowly eats away. And all along the way, with these south stars, with these people in our lives that messed up, that maybe even hurt us, God's been whispering even with them, you see that star? You see that star? There's another way. You can choose another way. You can choose a better way. Their way pointed you to a better way. Even south stars are a gift in that way. Who are your south stars this morning? Don't say it out loud. And is there any chance you can thank God even for them, for how their broken path puts you on a better one? Finally, these are the fun ones. God has given us a whole slew of North Stars. Those are the ones who appointed us to Jesus. And Scripture is jam-packed with them. Every page has one. Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Daniel, Deborah, Esther, Peter, Paul, Mary, but not the ones you're thinking of, Tabitha, Philip, Stephen, all of them so faithful, all of them so courageous, all of them so in love with God, all of them North Stars lighting up this path for the way to salvation for all of us. They're everywhere. You might say, I don't have any North Stars. If this is your book, you've got tons. You've got tons. Hannah was a North Star for her little boy Samuel. Remember her? She promised God that if he would just give her a child, she would dedicate that child right back to God. God gave Hannah Samuel, and this faithful mama, she kept her word. Samuel was raised in the temple, and as a little bitty boy, being in the right place at the right time, he learned to hear the voice of God as one of the first voices he even knew. Is that true of our children in this place? He'd grow up and he would call Israel in a very huge, significant time in their history to stay close to God's heart as they became this brand new established people. This was a huge role for a prophet, and it would only be fit for a man who had known his God's voice from the earliest of days. And he knew that voice because he had a mama who raised him up as close to God as she could get him. Hannah was a North Star for her boy Samuel. Psalm 116, the psalmist says, I serve you just as my mother did. I love it. Another mom, a North Star pointing her child to God. 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Timothy, who's going to be tasked with leading some of the earliest churches of our entire faith, he is who he is because he had a mom and a grandma who lived out the faith before him. Lois and Eunice, North Stars, teaching little bitty Timothy the stories of Scripture, showing their boy how to pray, how to sing to God, how to trust God. Parents in the room, we can't miss this point. Could you notice these heroes of the faith? Samuel, David, Timothy. They are who they are because they had moms and grandmas showing them the way to God. And what's true then, thousands of years ago, is still true today. And that is that our children still learn the ways of faithfulness first and foremost in the home. What happens here supplements that. It's not the foundation. They learn the stories of faith from you. These stories, they learn them from you because you're their North Star. They learn how to pray and they learn how to worship as they see you pray and worship because you are their North Star. They learn how to trust God as they see you trust God. They learn what it means to be faithful as they see you pursue faithfulness above everything else. And they learn from you that life with Jesus matters more than anything as they see you choose life with Jesus above everything. You are their North Stars, that our parents and our grandparents might shine like North Stars. We've all been given beautiful North Stars in our lives. It's people that Jesus shined through so brightly that being with them somehow in our lives just felt a bit like being with Christ himself. We've all got some right. As we honor these stars this morning from folks who have shared from their hearts, and I thank you for those who have shared from your hearts with us stories we're going to hear. Nothing blesses me more than when we participate and worship together. Thank you for bringing a gift for our community to share with you. Many of you are the same ones that shared your story and your song. These same people that step up over and over to share their lives with us, that more and more of us might share our lives with each other. As we honor these folks from those who have shared, could you reflect on who your North Stars are? Who are those gifts that God put in your life to go before you and show you the way of life? And could you reflect on how their light is shining in you? Zeta shares her North Star. She says, "The strongest support in my life was my sister Anna. She was 15 months younger than me, so we were more like twins. She was a very caring and accepting person, very family-oriented, believed in Jesus and accepted him as her Savior. She and I did a lot together. She loved to go, was ready any time, would ask where after she already was in the car. I called her every night around 7, and if I didn't call, she was calling to see where I was. My sister went home in March of 2019. The night before, something, a God thing, made me stop and give her a kiss on the cheek and tell her I loved her. She grunted in acknowledgement. Thank you, Lord." Linda Thompson says, "This is my grandma Hall at 18. She was one of 5 kids. They lost their mom when she was pregnant with another. Their dad married a housekeeper to help raise the kids. As I got older, I learned of the good things the stepmom taught them, but also the cruel streak. Grandma married young, and after 2 kids, as a victim of adultery and abuse, got a divorce. Her new husband was a loving man and grandpa to us kids. She was introduced to Jesus in a Billy Graham crusade in California. She was sweet and skilled in many things. She liked to whistle hymns. She loved her church. She lived through a lot of bad stuff, but was always positive and loving to me." Annie Fitzsimmons says, "My grandmother, Panine Jackson Thompson, was the first person to show me a life lived loving Jesus. We were close. My time spent with her was relatively brief but powerful. Family lore says it's impressive I ever learned to walk because apparently once I was born, she never put me down. When I was an infant, she lived with us. But when my dad returned from the Korean War, we moved away. From then until she died, when I was a young teen, all my contacts with her were during visits. She loved me and shared herself with me during those visits. She was an amazing baker and spent time sharing that skill with me. We sat and talked for hours. She even shared her bedroom with me so I didn't have to sleep on the floor. I watched her reading her large print King James Bible. She explained to me the significance of the words printed in red. She demonstrated the importance of spending time reading God's word and talking to God. Those conversations with her are seared in my brain, served as my foundational introduction of what a life lived for Jesus looks like. As an adult, I came face to face with childhood experiences that had the potential to destroy my marriage, my children's lives, and my hope for a future. I met a counselor named Fran Davis, who not only knew how to counsel, but foremost loved Jesus. She helped me confront my demons, and through the grace of God, drive them out. I am who I am today because of the love shown to me by these two God-fearing women. Carrie Bell says, "My person is my dad, Michael Bell. He helped shape me to be a great mother and parent. He always said, 'Be silly. Life's too short to take things too seriously.' He always had advice and guided me when I needed it and always sat back and watched me learn as well. He's always with me, and I know he's with God." Danielle Johnson and Tina both have the same saint. Danielle says, "Teresa Griffey was my saint. Over 8 years ago, we were sitting at my parents' house on the deck. She and I were talking about our kids and the struggles we had. Her one comment to me during that conversation changed my life forever. She said, 'If you're not teaching your kids about Jesus, why don't you bring them to church so someone else can?'" It felt like a kick in the behind, which is what I needed apparently. So she'd pick me up and we'd come together, sit in the back. My kids were so small, it was pretty appealing to get some free and safe childcare. I often wept while the Spirit moved in me. She'd pat my hand and give me a knowing look. Though we both had things trying to pull us away from our walk with Christ, we kept bringing each other back, holding one another accountable. She was such a loving friend and nursery worker for BCC. Her impact on my heart will be forever. And Tina says, "My special person who helped me find God is Teresa Griffey. She'd give me the biggest hugs and tell me God loves me just the way I am. We'd get together every week to read the Bible together. Then we'd share how the scripture applied to our lives. She'd always be patient with me. Sometimes we'd have to read it several times for me to understand. I'm very thankful for the time we shared doing this. I know she's in heaven. I feel her presence. I'll be forever grateful that I had a chance to share God with her." Debbie and Jenny Loudon both share about Casey, a son and a brother. Debbie says, "My son Casey Allen Loudon died on September 20th. He had been sick for months. It was hard to watch my once strong son lose his muscles, looking frail. I wasn't there when he died. I'll always regret that. I can't go back and change that, but I can learn from it to be more compassionate. He never complained. He didn't tell us how much pain he was in. When asked, he most always said, 'Better today.' He was humble, kind, patient, things I'm not. I know Casey's with God in heaven. He was such a gentle soul. I'll always miss him, but I know I will see him again." And Jenny says, "My story's about my brother Casey. He was the biggest influence in my life. He was always there for me to help me and guide me. He taught me so much about life, how to be independent and strong, to always stand up for what you believe in no matter what. Just before Casey died, I was able to find God again and accept him in my life. When he got sick, it made me look at life differently. It opened my eyes to appreciate everything around us. It taught me to see the good in everything, because if you hold on to the bad, it'll tear you apart. You have to have faith that everything's going to be okay, that we're not alone. God's with us, watching over us, protecting us. Casey taught me that life is short. Enjoy every minute of it and be grateful for everything we have." Charles Berger says, "This is Lester Harnish. When I was in seminary and home on breaks, he'd called me up, inviting me to breakfast. We'd argue about theology. He was the pastor of First Baptist Church Portland, and I was a conservative Baptist. After seminary, I felt called to a little mission church, a group that wanted me to be their pastor. Since it was financed by sister churches, I needed their pastors to bless me, which they didn't. Angry and lost, I got a call from this man. He wanted me on his staff and offered a position as minister with students at a private community college. He had me preach, run a Wednesday prayer group that he even attended. He believed in me and made a way for me to minister. He was a great mentor that God brought into my life. I'm forever thankful. Terry Allison says, my cousin Jesse was dying from cancer and got a hold of me. I never talked to her about Jesus. I got my courage up. She was interested and decided to be baptized. Jody Olson came to their house and baptized them all. Jesse started telling me not to cuss so much. We talked about the love Jesus has for all of us and forgiveness of ourselves and others. Before she took her last breath, she forgave the person she said she would never forgive. She taught me so much in those 6 months. I love and miss her very much. Tammy Halford says, my mother loved Halloween. Here we are worshiping Jesus on her favorite holiday. I'm not going to lie, she was a confused mother. She had a lot of problems. She didn't know how to love or be loved. But when she was dying, I asked my favorite person in the world, my cousin Tammy, to go talk to her. They shared crazy Tammy stories. Yes, I had a twin cousin, my bestie. We were born on the same day. Tammy went to my mom's bedside and shared stories with her. My dad said he could see life in my mom as she listened. Unfortunately, shortly after mom died, Tammy made a decision that will never leave me. But I'm grateful for her and for her life. Kara Newberry says, words can't capture how amazing my mom was. She may not have raised me in the church, but she taught me how to treat others with kindness and always show generosity. She was teaching me about Jesus without me even knowing it. She was sneaky. One of her final gifts was shown in how quickly she offered to sponsor a youth for church camp, even though she didn't know any of them. She just knew that I loved them and was willing to help any way she could. And my own North Stars, you've heard them before, my grandparents, Mimi and Papa, B.H. and Betty Kendrick. My grandpa loved the church. Served the church his entire adult life. I've told a group just recently, I went to visit him on a Saturday morning when he was 94 years old. And I walked into his apartment and he had his Bible open, was taking notes. And I said, Papa, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm working on a sermon. I was surprised because he hadn't preached in a few years. His body was failing him. And I said, are you preaching tomorrow? He said, I don't think so. But I think I should be ready just in case. A man who loved the church and served the church until his very last breath. And my grandma, a servant's heart of all servants' hearts. She had the whole family convinced that her favorite part of the chicken was a chicken wing. Because when she would serve up a chicken, she'd wait for everyone else to get their piece. And she would take whatever was left and say, oh, I just love this piece. It's my favorite, making sure everyone else was cared for before she ever thought of herself. This picture was them together on their 72nd anniversary, loving each other, serving each other, doting on each other faithfully, generous to each other to the very end. From them, I learned the power of faithfulness, the grit of sticking to God's calling through the thick and through the thin, and sacrificial love for another. Who's God put in your path to show you the way to life with Christ? For each one on this day, we say thanks be to God. And until we shine with God together in heaven, thanks be to God for these saints. All of these stars illuminating our path as we walk with Jesus. We do not walk alone. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Oh God, you gave us your Son, the greatest gift of all. And as if that wasn't enough, which it is, it was, it always will be, but even to add more abundantly to your generous love, you gave us a billion twinkling stars to light up the path and show us the way. Thank you for the ones who just brightened a day in our lives, a moment in our lives. Thank you for the ones who showed us the way not to go. And thank you for the North Stars who pointed to Jesus and said, this is the way. All of them a gift that we might live as shining stars right here and right now. And so at some All Saints Day service, 20, 30, 40, 100 years from now, some people might light candles saying, that was my North Star. That's the one that showed me the way to Jesus. Let it be so, O God. Let it be so. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.